You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Amen. So again, that video gives you a glimpse of where we've been in our current series called I Follow Christ. And what we're looking to do is establish a biblical, clear understanding of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. For sure, there's lots of people that have been part of the Church of Jesus Christ over many years, maybe, and they don't know how to boil it down. What exactly is a disciple of Jesus Christ? And so we've been breaking this down over a series of many weeks and leading in the next few weeks to come. So let me just review for you. The first part of the series focused on the theology of a true disciple. I'm put up a diagram for you on the screen, a little flow chart. You can take a look at that. We've been looking at that each week. This diagram shows you kind of where we're going and where we've been already. So there's the target. We want to learn what it means to be a Christ follower. And those three key words, abide, connect, share, show us the theology of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Namely, that true followers of Jesus Christ, they don't just say they follow Christ, they abide in Jesus. And we saw that in John chapter 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Every true follower of Jesus Christ abides in Jesus Christ, and without abiding in Christ, it is impossible to be a follower of Christ. And so we then saw that the second key word was connect. Not only does a true disciple of Christ abide in Christ, but we saw this, and many people were impacted by this. I kept hearing that a true disciple connects with the body. You can't live in isolation as a true follower of Christ. We saw the imagery in the Word of God the Apostle Paul gave us that the church is, in fact, one body. Jesus Christ is the head, and each of us are individually members of it. So if you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you abide in him, but you also connect with people around you. And then last week we broke down this word, share. A true disciple of Jesus Christ abides in Jesus, connects with the people in the body, but also shares with the world. These are three fundamental relationships that characterize the life of a true disciple, modeled after Jesus Christ himself. If you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look at Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, what you will find is this. He was always engaged in one of these three relationships. He was always abiding with his Father, or he was connecting with his disciples, or he was sharing with the world. I challenge you, go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's always doing one of those three things, either abiding in the Father, connecting with his disciples, or sharing with the world. And so we saw that the Christian life, we've been looking at this, the Christian life is not about me trying harder to work for Christ, trying harder to live for Christ. This is the Christian life right here. Christ is in us and lives his life through us. That's what we're going for. And so we saw that theology in the first part of our series. And now the second section that we're about to dive into is the real practical application of these three key words. We're going to see that to truly abide in Christ means that we need God time daily. You must spend time with God. We're going to break that down today. And then we're going to see that to truly connect with the body, we need gather time and group time. You can't be like, I'm the Christian who listens to the podcast, but I never come to church. That's not what it means to connect and be a true disciple. And then we're going to see that to truly share with the world means that we are committed to give time, sharing of our time, treasures, and talents, and go time. We saw that last week. We are on a mission. We are the extension of the mission of Jesus Christ. Listen, days are evil. Time is short. People are dying all around us. The world is collapsing. And Jesus says to us, we saw last week, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So now we're in this section of our series where we break down this very practical application. How exactly do I abide in Christ? How do I connect with the body? And how do I share with the world? Today, loved ones, we look at God time. The application of this series we're calling the 5G life. And if you want this church to be your home, I'm praying that you would be convinced of the 5G life, that we need to live the 5G life. And we break down the first G this morning. So on the screen for you, I want you to see this. Following Jesus Christ is all about relationships, and every quality relationship requires time. So you say, Jason, I don't know if I'm going to be about the 5G life. I'm not sure I'm really convinced of this. What we're going to see is that in order for this theology of abide, connect, share to be seen in our lives, we have to understand the only way to strengthen relationships in our lives is to give time to it. Hence the 5G life. If we're going to strengthen our abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, it needs time. We're calling it God time, and that's what we're going to break down today. So if you have your Bibles, take them with me right now and open to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of the Word of God in your hands. Mark chapter 1. In the New Testament, Matthew, and then Mark is the second book of the New Testament. Mark chapter 1, 35 to 39. What the Bible is going to show us over the next few weeks is that there are five specific ways true disciples of Christ spend their time. And I'm praying at the end of this series, we are all living the 5G life, spending our time the way the scriptures show us a true disciple does. So Mark chapter 1, 35 to 39 says this about Jesus Christ. It says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." We are going to look at the example of Jesus Christ, the perfect model of Jesus Christ. You want to understand what it means to invest time with God? You have to look at Jesus Christ supremely. While he himself is God, the second member of the Trinity, in his earthly ministry, he was devoted to tapping into the power of his Father in heaven. So when it comes to time, loved ones, time spent with God, this is where we're going to start. True disciples of Jesus Christ must decide. When it comes to time spent with God, true disciples of Jesus Christ must decide. Now, I need to say this before we go any further. This section that we're diving into, it's not about rules. It's not about rituals. It's not about ceremonies. It's not about check marks that we're going for. That's not what we're going for. The Word of God never puts those burdens on us. This is the outflow of a life that has been impacted by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the true disciple. Compelled by the gospel, compelled by God's grace. And so to spend time with God is not a matter of rules and regulations and rituals. It flows from a heart that understands the great salvation we've received in him. So when it comes to time spent with God, you need to understand it starts with this. We have to decide. It's so foundational and it's so basic. The decision to meet with God each day is really a decision to shape your heart, to renew your mind, and to strengthen your life. Is anyone weak in the room today? You need your life to be strengthened by time alone with God. The decision to meet with God each day is really a decision to stop relying on your own strength and start tapping into the resources that are available in God, in Jesus Christ, in the true vine, as we are his branches. The decision to meet with God each day is not simply a matter of a check mark or something to check off a to-do list. It's the game changer of your life. To spend time with him is the game changer of your life. It's the opportunity to abide firmly in Jesus Christ. It's the means through which you don't just survive the day. It's the means through which you thrive each day. And today, some of us need help to not only survive each day, but we need help to thrive in this Christian life. And God time first, loved ones, is a decision that we need to make. It's an intentional decision. Let's look at the model Jesus Christ. Notice verse 35. Verse 35 says this, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Another translation says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, listen to this, Jesus got up. Jesus got up. Here, Jesus Christ is the perfect example of what it means to abide in his Father. You can't miss the most obvious things that are happening in this passage. They are often overlooked in our lives. What did Jesus do? Jesus got up. Jesus rose very early in the morning. In other words, Jesus made a conscious decision that he was going to get up, and that there was a priority for that day, and the priority of that day was that he would tap into the strength of his Father and seek direction from his Father. And this is the case, loved ones, with all our relationships. If you don't invest time in the most important relationships of our lives, they just don't grow. Relationships don't grow without time. You don't just magically appear at a coffee shop with your friend without first deciding that you were going to do that. You decide, you make an appointment, you set it up, you be intentional about it. In the midst of the busyness of life, date night with your spouse doesn't magically happen. I know many husbands out there, you just want it to magically appear on your calendar. No, you got to make an effort to make time with your spouse. Otherwise, it doesn't just happen. Reservations don't just magically appear at a restaurant. You don't just magically get transported to the place where that person is that you want to spend time with. It doesn't work that way. But listen, that's how we treat our relationship with God so often. We say it's important, but we never decide to spend time with him. We never make an intentional decision to spend time with him. We think that it's going to magically happen somewhere along the line in the busyness of our day. Now, I'm very aware that some of you may be thinking that this is very basic stuff, and it is. I want you to understand that this is a very simple message this morning. It's a very simple message. If you've been in church for a long time, or you're studying theology in seminary, or you know a lot about the scriptures, maybe you're sitting here saying, well, why don't you tell me something I don't know, Jason? Of course, you have to spend time with God if you want your relationship with God to grow. Maybe some of you are thinking that. But here's what I want you to see. And I want you to be terrified by this statistic, okay? I want you to be frightened by this statistic. Those of you, you're really good in theology. You know a lot. You've been in church a long time. Be terrified by this statistic. A recent survey that Lifeway undertook revealed the following. 81% of evangelical Christians said they don't read God's word every day. I don't know if that terrifies you or not. You're sitting here, you're saying, this is so simple, this is so basic, why are you telling me this? Of course I have to spend time with God, but here's the question I have for you. Are you doing it? Because the survey shows over 80% of the people surveyed who are Christians, born again, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, don't pick up the book that is designed to change their lives every single day. In fact, they don't tap into the power of God available. They don't spend time with God daily. And so I want to ask you a question right now. Do you spend time with God daily? Do you decide in your heart that you are going to intentionally pursue God and his presence and his purposes and his strength for your life? Do you decide? I'm not asking you if you come to church. I'm not asking you if you love Jesus. And I'm not asking you if you've been grown up in church. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you this. Do you model that you value your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you model the marks of a true disciple of Jesus Christ in that you get up like Jesus and you decide intentionally to be with him? 81% is a staggering number. It is a staggering number. Because in Scripture, what we see is disciples of Jesus Christ cannot survive apart from connection to him. Disciples of Jesus Christ cannot live another day. We can't breathe another breath. To not read the Bible every day is like to say, I'm not going to eat. And so many of us view our relationship with God so casually. And why is that so? I mean, so many Christians are finding themselves consistently defeated by sin, lacking basic discernment in their lives. Listen, can I tell you, loved ones? Discernment is lacking in the church of Jesus Christ. Anyone on any given day can listen to a false teacher and not be able to know the difference between true, what is true and what is false in the church. I hope you can. I pray that you can. I teach you God's word so you can decipher. But on any given day, you can turn on the television and find Christians just watching garbage and not being able to discern what is true and false. Why? Because we don't know God. We don't spend time with God. We don't invest in our relationship with God. Discernment is lacking in the church. People are defeated in the church. People are struggling in the church. Why? Because 81% don't read the Bible. This is not a rule. This is not legalism. This is not a check mark. This is a heart that understands that I am nothing without Him. And just like you need to eat every day, you decide to do that. Well, your soul needs to eat every day. The problem is, in our culture, we choose iPhone over God. We choose careers over God. We choose television over God. We choose our own agenda over God. The problem is a basic problem of our hearts. Our hearts are being pulled in different directions by the idolatry of this world, and we so quickly submit rather than making a decision each day to be with our Father, to be abiding in Jesus Christ and in His Word and in prayer. We're so quick to make so many other decisions that lead us on paths of destruction. And this is what Satan wants, by the way. He doesn't want you near time with God. I'm just telling you. Can I tell you, when I wake up in the morning, can I tell you the ferocious battle that's happening in my heart? Because my heart wants to do everything else so often rather than get to the place and posture of worship and prayer before the Lord. Because there is idolatry all around us calling our name. Jason, love me. Jason, worship me. Jason, come to me. You're doing good things over here. Just come over here. Satan would love that. But a true disciple of Jesus Christ abides in Him. We see that modeled in Jesus Christ Himself. He makes a decision and He chooses to intentionally get up and to go to the place and posture of prayer. And let me ask you this. If Jesus Christ, the sovereign, righteous ruler and creator of all things, needs to come to the place and posture of prayer, how much more do we? If Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, needs to abide in the Father, how much more do we? I tell you, millions and millions and trillions times more do we, struggling and sinful people, need time alone with God. On the screen for you, listen to how the psalmist describes his relationship with God. See, the problem is so many of us view God time as a ritual. So many of us view it as a legalistic thing, like, oh, I got to do that. Oh, it's going to be hard for me to do that, but I guess I got to do it. Listen to how the psalmist describes his relationship with God. He says this, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. I want to be with you," he says. "My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." This is the heart. This is the expression of a heart that knows Jesus Christ, that is a disciple of Jesus Christ, that daily crucifies the idols of this world and comes before the Lord to say, "I know that in the place where God is the most lovely place to be." I got to be convinced that the place where God is the most empowering place to be. I got to be convinced that the place where God is the most fruitful, beneficial, life-changing place to be. But, see, why don't we do this? Why? Because we are convinced of a lie so often that my meetings are more important, that the work I'm doing even for God is more important, that my emails are the most lovely place to be, that my employment, my work, my career, that's the most lovely place to be. But you have to be convinced of what Scripture shows us. There is nothing, loved ones, nothing in this world that can satisfy the deepest longings of the heart of human beings than a relationship with God. If you believe that truth, then you tap into God's presence daily. If you believe that truth, then you pursue God time daily. If you believe that truth, then even though you may not feel like it in the morning, you rush to that place. Why? Because you believe with your heart and mind that the theology of God's word is true, that His place is the most lovely place. So I will go there. You don't go there based on feelings. You don't go there based on emotions. You must decide. And we see that in Jesus Christ. We see Jesus Christ doing that. On the screen for you, Luke 5:16 says that Jesus would withdraw to desolate places to pray. The original Greek construction of the verse we read, that he rose, it actually communicates a constant rising, a constant going. It's a constant decision that he made, that the priority of his life was to do the will of the Father, which is the priority of the life of true disciples. And true disciples who want to do the will of the Father, understand, the place you must start is with Him. With Him. And so Jesus often withdrew to desolate places to pray. So let me ask you again, question. How much time do you spend with God daily? Let me change the question. Do you spend time with God daily? Do you? Let me ask it another way. When was the last time? Just think for yourself. Nobody sees into your heart. Think to yourself. When was the last time you spent time with God? Now, some of us are thinking, man, weeks. Some of us are thinking months. Some of us are thinking, well, a few days ago, but I just lost track. Listen, what's tempting for each of us now is to begin to feel guilty, and that's not what God's word wants for us. We don't feel guilty. Why? Because time with God is not a rule. It's not an obligation. It's not a check mark that you have to do. To feel guilty about not spending time with God is like feeling obligated that I need to spend time with my wife. Do I ever feel obligated? Oh, I guess I gotta go feel, you know, if I don't, then oh man, I feel bad about it. We have a relationship with God. He loves you. And if you've turned your life to Him, you love Him. And maybe you're here today and you've been distracted by many things. There are seasons in my life where I've been distracted by many things. But if we want to understand what it means to truly follow Jesus Christ, if we want to walk in the fullness of His power and His grace and His provision daily for us, the strength we need to survive each day, some of you are falling apart, you can't hardly face the next day. It's God time, and we need to decide. So we need to check where we're at. I'm going to ask you a few more questions here, and I want to ask you to find which category you find yourself in so that we can assess our hearts. On the screen for you, just think about your daily routine and when you get to bed at night. When I go to bed each night, which category do you fall into? I don't consider meeting with God the next day. Is that you? Or how about this? When I go to bed each night, I make a decision to meet with God the next day. I plan on it at some point. Now here's a third level. When I go to bed each night, I think through where and when I will meet with God the next day. Which one do you fall into? When I go to bed each night, last night you went to bed, you didn't even consider meeting God maybe today, this morning. Or you go to bed and you make a decision, you say, yes, yeah, God, time's important, but maybe don't go to the next level of the third one. I think through where and when I will meet with God the next day. That's important because what we see is that Jesus doesn't just roll out of bed and wander into his day. Jesus doesn't do that. He gets up. He decides. He gets up early before everyone else while it's still dark. He knows what he has to do with great urgency and with great priority. He knows what he's doing that day, first and foremost. Which block do you fall into? See, some of us don't think about this. That's why I wanted to put it in these terms. Some of us don't think about it like this. But when you think about it, when you want to meet with someone that's really important to you, you don't just wake up and think to yourself, I wonder if they're going to be available today, and I wonder if I can find it time in my schedule. You never do that. In our busy schedules, what we always do, we plan weeks ahead, we plan months ahead to meet with so-and-so and to invest in so-and-so and to be with so-and-so at this particular place. We do that. I mean, look at my iPhone. It's full of appointments in my calendar months in advance. I need to know where I'm going. Otherwise, I'm going to miss an appointment. How much more should we decide in our hearts that we have a time and we have a place to meet with God because he is the most significant person and relationship in my life. The Bible says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up with purpose, with urgency, and with dependence on his Father. Do you understand what God could do if this could be embraced by people in this church? Do you understand what God could do in your life and in this church? Do you understand what God could do if you could just simply just decide in your heart that this is significant, this is important, it's not a check mark. He died for me. He poured out his grace upon me when I was hostile towards him, when I was shaking my fist at him, when I was nailing him to the cross with my sin. He forgave me. He loved me. He reached down to save me. He is not reluctant to meet me when I pursue him. I wonder if the Lord is moving upon your heart and you're thinking to yourself, oh, how I need to decide each day to be with God. When it comes to time spent with God, true disciples of Jesus Christ must decide. Secondly, true disciples must do this, write this down, must prioritize. I'm going to rub you the wrong way through this next point. I'm just telling you. Some of you, I'm going to rub you the wrong way. Some of you, you're going to be okay. But others of you, I'm going to rub you the wrong way. Watch verse 35. Just want to tell you what Jesus did. That's all I'm doing, okay? Just want to tell you what Jesus did. And rising, watch this. So there's the decision. There's the intentional decision. And rising, watch this. Very early in the morning. I lost a lot of you already. Okay, I know. You want to leave? Wait, just hang on. Hang on. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Don't go anywhere. Wait. While it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And what we don't want to do today is establish man-made rules that become a burden upon people. That's not what we want to do at all. But I do want you to notice the pattern and example of our Lord Jesus Christ in that he rose very early in the morning while it was still dark. Above everything, what this communicates to us is priority. It communicates to us that time with his Father was a priority such that he needed to rise early, he needed to get ahead of the day, he needed to get ahead of the millions and millions of people or things that would come to him that day. It shows us the priority of his time with his Father. And in fact, there's nothing more important than this for Jesus Christ. And as I said already, if Jesus Christ, the sovereign ruler of the universe, needed time with his Father, how much more you and I? If Jesus Christ needed to set his time with his Father ahead of the day, how much more do you and I need time with the Father? There's just something I want to suggest to you that's special about the morning. And I believe we have enough substantial scripture to show us that there is something special about the morning. We're not establishing man-made rules. I'm going to get to that in a second. But I just want to show you the pattern of Jesus Christ. And perhaps you would embrace it. Let me give you the top two benefits of God time in the morning. Okay? Top two benefits of God time in the morning. Number one, write this down, more devotion. He has the first part of my day. Okay? More devotion. He has the first part of my day. Notice on the screen for you what E.M. Bounds wrote. He wrote this: the men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and its freshness in other pursuits than seeking God will make poor headway seeking him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, he will be the last place the remainder of the day. And this is 100% true of our context in our passage. Who has done more for the world than Jesus Christ? No one. Who has been more fruitful in the world than Jesus Christ? No one. Who has been more effective and faithful than Jesus Christ? No one. And the beautiful truth that Jesus models for us is the giving of the first part of his day before anything else has happened to prepare himself to seek direction, to be empowered by his Father to go forward in all that was ahead of him. Now, some of you say, I'm too busy. I say to you, Jesus was busier. Some of you say, I'm too tired in the morning. I say, Jesus was more tired. Just a few verses before in Mark 1:28, it tells us this: and at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding regions. And the Bible tells us in verse 33, the whole city was gathered where Jesus was. You think you're busy? The whole city came to him. You think you're tired? He has the needs of the whole city at his doorstep. That's why he gets up early in the morning. To get ahead of the day, to find strength for the day. Remember, he's 100% God, but he's 100% man. And Jesus was tired. Jesus was hungry. Jesus was thirsty. And all of a sudden, Jesus finds thousands flocking to him, which is why he needed to devote the first part of his day to abiding in his Father. You think to yourself, well, I have a hard meeting this day. I better sleep in a little bit more. You have a hard meeting that day. You better get up. You better get up. You better get up to find strength. You better get up to find direction from your Father. You better get up to find all that God has for you in that moment, that he would fill you, he would lead you, he would propel you, he would mobilize you, he would give you something that morning that you did not have going into that day. More devotion. First benefit of God time in the morning, more devotion. He has the first part of my day. Secondly, write this down. Or less distractions. He has the best part of my day. Just making an apology here for God time in the morning. I'm an apologetic for God time in the morning here. Less distractions. He has the best part of my day. On the screen for you, Henry Blackaby said this: among the enemies of devotion, none is so harmful as distractions. Whatever excites the curiosity, scatters the thoughts, disquiets the heart, absorbs the interest, or shifts our life's focus from the kingdom of God within us to the world around us, that is a distraction, and the world is full of them. And so God time in the morning, he has the first part of my day. God time in the morning, he has the best part of my day. I'm telling you, loved ones, if I don't get up early enough, I'm telling you, the distractions will flood my life like I cannot even contain them. I love my children. I'm telling you, I love them. I love them so much. But if I wake up just 5 or 10 minutes late, this is what happens. I sit down. Daddy! That's what happens. As soon as you open the book, Daddy! As soon as you kneel down to pray, Daddy! Distractions. There's many things. And distractions are not bad in and of themselves sometimes. They're good things that we could be doing. Is it a good thing to take care of my children? Of course, it's a beautiful thing. I take care of them best when I'm empowered by the Lord. This again is the case with the certainty. This was the case with the context of Jesus Christ. He was getting ready for a day where, like I said, hundreds and hundreds of people would be coming to him. And so he chose early in the morning while it was still dark. Why? Because God time is a necessity for his ministry. And God time is a necessity for us. So many of us are weighed down by different distractions. Let me show you in scripture really quickly on the screen for you. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42 talks to us a bit about distractions and what God desires of us. Luke 10, 38 to 42 says this, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat down at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." She wanted God time. "But Martha was distracted with much serving." Serving bad? No, she was doing good things. She was trying to do something for Jesus, trying to serve him. But she was busy, distracted. "And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." We can be out and about doing things for God. We can be out and about serving God. But if it's at the expense of time with God, we have chosen the lesser thing. The better thing is time with God. And if we don't get up early enough, loved ones, I'm telling you, we face a day full of distractions. Maybe you can resonate with that. The reality is our days are full of distractions. One of the benefits of the morning is getting ahead of those distractions and being prepared for what will bombard us that day. We need to be prepared. So a few more verses. Psalm 143, verse 8 says, "Let me hear in the morning your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me to know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." How can I know the way I should go today if I'm not up in the morning seeing your steadfast love? Psalm 130, verse 6, "My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen in the morning." More than watchmen in the morning. Psalm 90, verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." The scriptures model for us the beauty and priority of being up early in the morning for God time. But here's the deal, loved ones. Here's the deal. You hear me closely. If you've found another time of the day that's distraction-free, if you found another time of the day and you can say in your heart, this is my priority to be with God, and it's reflected in the time of the day that I am bowing before him. If you found another time of the day, I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm going to twist your arm. You have to get up in the morning. I'm going to watch you now. If you're not up, I'm not going to do that. I'm just giving you the benefits. I'm showing you what Jesus did, getting ahead of the day in the morning. But I know if you're a mom in this room, you have small kids, sometimes it's not that easy to do that in the morning. Sometimes you have to find another day, but you're still making it another moment in the day, but you're still making it a priority. Here's the principle I want you to get from this. Jesus Christ made it a priority to be with his Father. And true disciples of Christ must make it a priority to be with him. Okay, so notice now verse 35 again. It says, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Notice that Jesus got alone to a desolate place. God time is not time with your spouse praying. God time is not time with your small group. God time is alone with the Father. God time is just you and him. All those other things are good, but don't let that substitute for your time alone with God. Jesus got alone. He went to solitary places. Now look at verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. See how the distractions just came so fast. They were looking for him. If he didn't depart and get to a desolate place, they were looking for him. It says, and Simon, those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said, everyone is looking for you. So quickly were people searching for Jesus, demanding from Jesus. Again, this is why he needed to be with the Father early in the morning before anyone else got up. He needed to get his power from God that moment in the morning. And you'll experience that too. The second you get to work, the second you get to school, whatever, the distractions just come to you. It's like everybody's looking for you. You probably feel that way sometimes. Maybe you walk into your office and some days it's like, everybody's looking for me today. Get ahead of that. Get ahead of it. Now verse 38 to 39. And he said to them, let us go to the next towns, Jesus said, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Here's what I want you to see. Christ's pattern was time alone, early in the morning, with his Father, in order to be equipped and empowered to take on the events of the day. His ministry wasn't easy. Every demon-possessed person was coming to him, and he needed time alone with his Father. And let me tell you, if we are the extension of the mission of God, let me tell you, there are people waiting for us that we need to be ministering to. We need to open our eyes. We need to open our hearts. We need to see that without my time alone with God, I cannot have what I need to minister to the many needs, to even see the many needs that are all around me, sitting next to you at work, on the bus, in the grocery store, all around you are the needs that we are called to minister to. How can we do it without being strengthened by God? How? Why are so many ministry leaders going down? Why is there so much moral failure and sexual immorality? Why are all these things happening? It all starts from a place of just abandoning time alone with God and getting busy doing ministry. Oh, the church is growing. Look, I must be doing something right. Oh, people are getting saved. People are complimenting me. Oh, look, I must be doing something right. And then the time alone with God is left alone. It's gone. It's behind them. And now all of a sudden, they're the CEO of this thing. And slowly but surely, sin takes root. It doesn't happen overnight. And maybe you're here and you're struggling with sin. You're struggling with a pattern of sin. You're struggling in your life. And you can point that back to, I don't spend time with God. I need him to help me. I need him to strengthen me. I need him to illuminate my heart and show me the things that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, the things that I'm not doing that I should be doing to serve him faithfully. True disciples of Christ abide, and very practically, true disciples are committed to time alone with God daily. Without it, we're done. We're done. It's a very simple message. You need time alone with him. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, he saved you by his grace. You need time alone with him. You need to decide on it. You need to make it a priority so that we don't fall into that 81% of people that are disregarding the Savior of the universe for the power that they need from him each day. So now where do we go from here? Really quickly, I want to end with some very simple guidelines that I trust will help us all, because some of us are overwhelmed. Some of us are sitting here saying, I don't know where to start. Where do I read the Bible? How do I start in the Bible? How do I pray? All of these things. There's so much that we can say here right now, but in the next couple minutes, I want to give you some very practical help. Practical help for those that are struggling. This is what we're going for. I want you to get this. God time. We're going for quality, not quantity. Okay? God time. We're going for quality, not quantity. Some of you in this room, you're trying to read through the Bible in a year, and this is what your quiet time looks like. It's like, I gotta do it. I gotta do it. I gotta do it. I gotta do it. But did you spend time with God? Did he speak to you through the reading of Scripture? Was it a quality time with him, or was it just racing through the pages trying to accomplish as much reading as I possibly can? Here, we're going for quality, not quantity. How can you hear from God? How can you worship God? How can you have the Word of God penetrate your heart if you're just rushing right through? We're going for quality first. What's the goal? What's the goal? You need to get the goal in mind. Why am I doing this? What's the goal? The goal is time with the Savior. The goal is that I know Him more, that I love Him more, that I worship Him more. And as you grow in that, guess what? The quantity will follow. You will want more. You will hunger for more. You will be able to hold in more. But how about this? If you're struggling here today, how about this? If you haven't read the Bible in months, how about this? We start with 15 minutes this week. How about that? Or where do I start? How about this? You just go to the Gospel of John and start 15 minutes each day. Just open the Bible. Decide. I'm going to get there. I want to hear from God today. You pray, God, speak to me now. Lord, don't ever open God's word without praying. You need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Get to that place of quietness before him. Get alone where there's no distractions. Make it a priority. Open to the Gospel of John. Start with 15 minutes and just start to read. Hey, God, would you say something to me through this? And pray. Start there. It's a good place to start. We're going for quality, not quantity. I can say so much more about that, but here's the goal. It's to worship and know God, not to read as many pages of the Bible as possible without understanding it. Okay? Secondly, we're going for consistency, not irregularity. Consistency. Okay? So how do I go about this? Well, you decide that I'm going to meet with God every day. Every day. You have to make it a priority. You're not going for infrequency. You're not going for 2 days on, 3 days off, 5 days on, 1 day off. We're going for this. Think about it in this analogy. If you need to eat every day consistently to nourish your body, you must feed your soul every day to nourish your soul. Okay? How do I do it? Is it a check mark? Is it a rule? Is it an obligation? No, it's I want to know God. I want to love God. I want to worship God, and I want to do this consistently so that I can know him more, so my worship is empowered by the truth of God's word, so that I can grow, so that 15 minutes becomes half an hour, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 3 hours. I love remembering my grandfather. I'm telling you, my grandfather, who was a pastor, he passed away now. I remember him. He would sit at the kitchen table, and I'm telling you, all day long, he read the Bible all day. Writing notes and praying and reading the Bible and writing notes and reading and meditating on. Why? Can we start there? I don't think so. Can I tell you, go and read it all day? No, but I'm telling you, consistency, go for quality, and God will continue to strengthen you and strengthen your capacity and strengthen your hunger for him. You would pursue him. You would love him. It would be quality time. It would be consistent time. And then thirdly, really quickly, maturity. We're going for maturity, not futility. We're going for maturity, not futility. God time is not a check mark. If you view it as a check mark, it's futile. If you view it as an obligation, it's futile. It's pointless. It won't have the effect it needs to have in your life. If you view it, though, as your opportunity to know God and grow in your faith and love God and worship God better, you will grow in maturity. We have to understand our goals about why we're doing this. You have to understand the purpose about why you're doing this. Not a check mark on the list. Listen, if you read one verse one morning and you spend time on that one verse and your heart is gripped by that one verse and God has shown you things in that one verse you've never seen before, that's quality time. And it takes you to maturity. God time is not a check mark. That's futile and pointless. The goal is a knowledge of God, worship of God, and maturity in Him. And that's what God has for us. So just dream with me for a moment for your own life. Just think for a moment. What could God do in you and through you if you would understand this basic thing? If my relationship with God is going to grow, I need to spend time with Him. What could God do in you? I'm telling you, He'll do amazing things. What could God do in our church then if every single person in this room, every single one in this room is convinced that tomorrow morning I'm going to get up or I'm going to make it a priority tomorrow to spend time with God? What would happen in this church? I'm telling you, awesome things would happen. Why? Because there is a new power, there's a new strength, there's a new maturity, there's a new dependence. What would happen in our prayer meetings? I'm telling you, full house, because you're growing, you're mature. You love Him, you need Him, you want to pursue Him. And I'm praying that that's the case for us. That today, not rules, not obligations, not rituals. Today, Lord, I love You. Forgive me for not investing in my time with You. I want You. I choose today to set my heart on You. I ask you to bow your heads with me right now. Don't go anywhere. The worship team's going to come lead us in a song. It's going to help us to set our hearts on Jesus Christ. I want you to think for a moment. Some of you, as I said, you're drifting away into feeling guilty. And so that's not what we want today. Not guilt at all. What we want is based on the grace of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus. We want our hearts to be compelled, driven to a place of desperate need for Him. So, if you're here and this is hard for you, God time is a struggle, I want to pray for you, but would you pray for your own heart right now? Just pray for your own heart. Say, Lord, I want You. I want to spend time with You. Just each one, just pray that prayer. Lord, I want more of You. I can't believe how I've been wandering through this life, just powerless. I need time with You. Just pray that to the Lord. Would You help me to decide? Would You help me to prioritize? Would You help me to know that there is no time like God time for me in my day? Help me, Lord. He will help you. He will flood your life with such grace. Maybe you're identifying something that's taking the place of God time. Maybe you're identifying something specific that is taking your attention. You can pray right now, Lord, forgive me. I have worshiped other things. And you can name it, Lord, forgive me. I want to worship You now. I want that to be reflected in my knees bent before You in the morning, my heart extended towards You at the best part of my day. Lord, I give it to You. I want to give my days to You, and I want to leave my house every morning having been so filled and empowered and full of joy because of my time with You. I want that, Lord. You tell Him now if You want that.